Okay, we are picking up two lines on the top of Samach Aleph Amar Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored Lila Shmash Shulamis Basyakov and Shama Shulam Aliyah. So the Mishnah told us Matias Cheresh Shota Vekatan is going to Mimnei Darkech Shalom is going to have Gezel, and Rabbi Yossi says it's Gezel Gomer. If you take something that they found, that's Mamish stealing. To which the Gemara qualifies that you can't say that it's stealing on a level of Doresa. Amar of Chista, Gezel Gomer Midivrayim. That even according to Rabbi Yossi, it cannot be on a level of Doresa, because at the end of the day, somebody who doesn't have das is not kone under halacha of midareisa. So therefore, he understands that it's really gezel gomer. That this is what it means, and it's gezel gomer midivrayim on the level of derabanan. So the Gemara asks, what's the difference then if it's gezel midarke shalom on the level of derabanan or b'nei gezel gomer midivrayim? The main afkamina, what is the halachic difference between the two? Lo tzia b'dayanim. So in regards to if you taking it from the person who stole it, according to Rabbi Yossi, the Beis Din can force the return of this item. However, according to the Tana Kama, only it's usher to steal it based on the idea of Darkei Shalom. So then the courts would not forcibly remove it from the person who stole it. And therefore, that would be a nafkamina. So Rashi just points out that even according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not considered really an Isser D'Oraisa with respect to another nafkamina could be about Pasul La'edus. So meaning we violate an Isser D'Oraisa that is a Kliya Malkus, immediately you become Pasul La'edus. You're not kosher to testify about anything. You have no ne'emanus. That's what Rashi says, okay? So then you could ask Akasha, though, someone who steals something also on a level derabanan, the Gemara in Sanhedrin has about Mesachei Bekuvia, Mafricha Yonim, all these people on a level derabanan are also pasul le'edus. So we can answer that only someone who violates an Isser derabanan is only pasul once they announced it. However, one who violates an Isser derabanan isn't automatically, the moment that he does that, is going to be chayav. Is going to be not chayav, and he's not going to be a neman anymore, and he's pasul le'edus. So that would be the difference. Okay, and there's other also leniencies that Rosh Hashanah pointed out. There are certain times where we will rely on someone pasul le'edus midarabanan. Fine. So then the Mishnah says ani manakev brosh zayis ma'al shetachtav is going to be him in a darker shalom tana imliket v'nasan biyad. That if the ani placed them in his hand, so then there's a kinyan yad. Then it's hareza gazel gomer. That's even a level deraisa because kinyan yad is a din deraisa, and therefore he has a full-fledged kinyan on the item which he had taken, and therefore we assume that you are going to be chayav. So you have to understand that that would be the qualification. So the Gemara says Rav Kahana ve'kazel lehutzel. So Rav Kahana was going to place a hutzel. Chazel lehu garva. He saw a person davi shade apuya. He was throwing sticks at the tree. The kanasra and tamari. So therefore, and the dates are falling down. So there's no real kinyan on them. Azel kamanakev rachos. So there Rav Kahana went and took the dates. Amrlei chazi mar de biyadi shadisiu. What do you mean? That's taken. I had previously thrown them down. Some of the dates I have taken with my hands, and therefore I have a full fledged kinyan on them. There's a kasha. Tosos point out. So at the end of the day, this is something, and the Rash bothered. Shouldn't bother by this. Rav Kahana shouldn't have violated the Isser Darabanan of Darkei Shalom either. How could it be that he had taken these produce? So the Rashba wants to answer that maybe Rav Kahana understood that this guy was a goy. So he thought the idea of Darkei Shalom doesn't apply to him. There's no kinyan whatsoever. He could take the fruits and eat them. However, this person obviously was a Jew and he knew halacha. So the Gemara pointed out, Rav Kahana responding to him, Amar Lei Maaser Rabbi Yoshia, you must be from Rabbi Yoshia who says halachas out loud and gives a shiurim, and therefore you knew what the halachas are. Even to teach the common person to know these basic halachas, that was a very big level for him, for Rabbi Yoshia, and he was a tzaddik yesod olam. A deeper kavanah is why dafka here for giving this shiur about halacha did Rabbi Yoshia get this title? But that's what the Gemara says. This is another thing that we allow the poor non-Jews to come into our fields and collect lekach shechapeya because of darkei shalom, because obviously that would lead to, you know, anti-Semitic things. If we would not allow that. Tana Rabbanan Mefarnesim Ani Nachrim Imen Ani Yisrael Mevakechoy Nachrim Mechol Yisrael. So the similar thing. We also you can give tzedakah to non-Jews because of Darkei Shalom. Also, you can visit the sick of non-Jews. A Kovin Mesi Nachrim Nes Yisrael. Also, if you find them dead, it does not mean that you bury them together because that's usher. You don't bury a non-Jew and a Jew in the same cemetery, but rather means that if you see them together dead, you shouldn't just take the Jewish body and bury. We should also give a kavura for the goy, not in the same cemetery, but somewhere else. Darkei Shalom because of Darkei Shalom. So we should just keep that in mind, that a person should realize that if a goy asks you for money on the street, sometimes you're scared going to mug you, but I have this in Manhattan sometimes, but it's a little scary. But anyway, Darkei Shalom, I usually try to give them a dollar And hopefully they don't hurt me. So let's continue with the next mission. Mashalas isha lechaverta chushuda ala shvias. So another thing of Darkei Shalom, that a woman is allowed to lend her friend who's suspected of violating lachas of Shvius, what could she be doing? So if she's keeping the produce past the time of Biur is a time where it's no longer available to the animals in the fields, and therefore we learn from there that that's a din d'oraisa, that if it's no longer available, then you have to remove it from your property and declare it hefker. And after that, you could then take it back into your house. But if she did not do this process, we're assuming, then it would be usher to be nana from that to that food. So you're allowed to give her on Shvius a sifter, a sieve, a handmill, and an oven, all things that she could do to make her food that l'chora she had be'isr. But she can't directly grind or sort with her, because that would be something which is directly helping her, and that would be a violation of Lifnei Iver. What is the concept of Lifnei Iver? Now, the Pasuk says, Lifnei Iver lo sitin michshol, you do not put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, which we understand. Torah Shebaal Peh tells us, doesn't literally mean that. It means that you should not help someone do an Avera. So, Midoreisa, lechora, only actively helping a person who otherwise would not necessarily, haven't been able to do the Isser, is actually the Isser Doreisa of Lifnei Iver. Like, I think the Gemara in Nazir we had earlier, the Gemara says about throwing wine to a Nazir. He was on the other side of the river, and he couldn't have access to wine. So you threw it to him, and he drank it. That's Lifnei Iver Doreisa, because he didn't have access to it. So here, when it comes to actively helping her violate an Isser Doreisa, though, so that was not going to be allowed. Only indirectly, indirectly helping her, that would be something which the Mishnah says, and we could also be told that maybe she's not even going to violate an Isser, even though the likelihood is she would, that would be Matamnei Darkei Shalom. But actively do something that we don't allow. Eishes chaver mashalos eishes am aretz simon halacha, that a wife of a chaver, a land wife of am aretz, am aretz generally are chashudin ala maestro. So here is a halacha of maestro, nafa kvara a sifter and a sieve of a rares the chenem rakedesima. She can even sort and grind the sifter together with this woman. So the Gemara is going to explain why is this not an issue. And avalomit mashatatil samayim veloti gaima. But once the wife of the am aretz adds water to the flour, so then you're not allowed to help her. So because you're going to help someone who's violating an Isser, and the only reason we have the leniency in the first place is because of Darkei Shalom. So Tosos very bothered by the Tosos of the Richos and Dibur Maschel Mashelos over here. Tosos point out that this is all because of Darkei Shalom, and Tosos has a kashla bein atam, but typically davele sharmishim de ikal the misa betuva shel heter kadesh kon mesach shvius. That in Mesach HaShvius we find that the Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel about selling an animal that can do work in the field in Shvius. So now most people use this animal to plow. But you can be told that maybe you'll shech the cow and you'll use it to eat its meat. Now, that's not generally what you use it for. So Beit Shammai says you can't do that. Beit Hillel, though, is matter, because you can be told that she's going to do it for, even if it's something that's not as used, but it's something which fundamentally can be used for a heter. So you don't even need to come out to Darkei Shalom. So Tosos, therefore, our Masbir, our Mishnah, that we're talking about a case which the woman is known to have only Shvius. They make an Ukimta in the Gemara because of that. Since it's known that she only has Shvius, she's not going to go out of her way to go buy the other produce, and that's such a remote possibility that only because of Darkei Shalom we're Matir it. But if not, we would not have been Matir. It's not like the case of Beit Shammai Beis Hillel, where you could have at least, let's say, whatever, a small chance you'd have it. She literally doesn't have the other produce. She has to go out of her way to buy something else. It's so unlikely that had not been for Darkei Shalom, we would not have been Matir it. That's how Tosos explained our Mishnah. You could even say a Shakoyach to Goyim, we're working the land on Shvius of Eloi de Israel. You shouldn't say Shakoyach to a Goy because he's violating an Isser. You shouldn't say Shakoyach to him. V'shalom v'shalom, in general, you can say Shalom Aleichem, you could say hi to a Goy. You could even say that to him because Bnei Darkei Shalom, because you want to do that because of Darkei Shalom, and that's not going to be an issue. That's what the Mishnah ends off with. So now the Gemara says, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Sefer. What exactly is the difference between the first case and the second case of the Mishnah? When it comes to Lacha of Shvius, we allow you to do Nafa V'kvara V'rechaim. We allow you to do the sifting, the sorting, right? We allow you to do all those things. But when it comes to the case of Maestros, so then we do allow it, right? So we can even do that. You can't do the tichina. So why is it different in the cases of maestros? Why more mekel in the seifa? So says the Gemara, because the second case is talking about a problem of the fact that the amaretz might not take off maestros. So he doesn't take off truma. They usually assume truma gadol. They take off maestros as a halach of demai. We usually don't take off maestro rishon or maestro sheni. So maestro rishon, you just take off the korah shem. And you say to the Levi, hey, bring a raya that you are that you're entitled to this. And you can't bring a raya because, you know, most merits are master in him, so you're able to keep it. It's not an iser. There's only a shalach of dinei mamonos, so you're allowed to keep it. Maaser sheni, it depends. On the year of three and six, where it's maaser ani, so you could say it's ani the same thing as a levi. You take it off, your korah shem, it's machlokas. Tonight, but we assume you take it off. And then you say to the ani, hey, bring me a proof that you're an ani, and I'll give you this maaser sheni. Now, that's with maaser sheni when it's years 3 and 6. But what years 1, 2, 4, 5, which is a year you have to bring it to Yerushalayim, so then we make you do that, because what are you making you do? You have to take the produce to eat them. You're keeping them, you just have to eat them in Yerushalayim, so that we make you do. Anyway, so here, we're talking about Rav Maharetz Maasrinim, and therefore the Chaver's wife can help the Amma Aretz, because we assumed that there's a Rav chance, a high chance, high probability, you're not violating any Isser. To which Rav responds, Rav says differently, Rav Maharetz Amma Aretz de Rabbi Meir. Really, the second case of the Mishnah is referring to Amma Aretz defined by Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir defines an Amma Aretz as someone who is suspected of eating chulin in a state of tuma. But they do take off truma sumaisa. So tuma vetara derabanan. In regards to lach of tuma vetara, it's only an iser derabanan, and therefore helping them suspectedly maybe violate it is going to be mutter. So the Rishonim explained that, according to Rashi over here, that Rava must understand that whether or not Amma Aretz takes off Meitzer is not like Rav Abaye, that it's a Rav Amma Aretz Matzim. And rather, he understands that it's like a Safek HaShakol, it's like 50-50. So therefore, on the level of the Reisa, it'd be a Safek HaShakol L'Chorma, that maybe he didn't take off Meitzer, so you have to be Machmer. As opposed to Rabbi Meir, who understands that the whole din is regards to eating chulin in state of tuma, that is the halacha over here. Now, eating in the state of tuma, vetara, only applies to truma and kachin. When it comes to chulin, that is only a din derabanan. So helping an Amma Aretz have his chulin in a state of tuma is only an iser derabanan, and that's going to be mnei darkei shalom. It's not so clear what I just said. There is a shaila about this, whether or not making tuma be'eretz Yisrael, the iser ligram tuma be'eretz Yisrael might be more than just an iser derabanan. That actually might be a higher level. Okay, but either way, that's how we're explaining the Mishnah liba deriv meir. To which the Gemara says, the sign as we learn in the Braisa, Eza Amma Aretz. Who's considered Amma Aretz? Kol shein ochel chulin betara. Deriv meir. Meir is of the opinion that if you don't eat chulin betara, you're defined as an Amma Aretz for these purposes of chacham. Emnim kol shein ma'aser pirzo. No, as long as you don't, if you take off chumas and ma'aser, you're not an Amma Aretz. Only further, if you don't, then you would be considered Amma Aretz. So now, when it comes to Rabbi Meir, we're understanding that he really does take off chumas and ma'aser. So the Gemara says, but Rabbi Dekhanai Seifa, the last part of the Mishnah says Mishitatas Amayin Lotigayimah, but once she adds water to the flour, the wife of the chaver may not help her anymore. Miklad the Reisha Labat Tuma Vataraskinan. That implies that the previous case that we were talking about does not discuss the aspect of Tuma and Tara, because only mentioning it now, we're only adding it. In order for something to become Tame, it's and only if the Zayin Mashkim, Yad Shachatam, Yayin, Shemen, Dvash, Chalav, Tal, and Dam, actually, and I'm forgetting the last one. Okay, either way, that's Yad Shachat Mayim. So those are all the seven liquids that can make something susceptible to Tuma. We learn that from Chiyut and Mayim. So when something is a Liritzono of a person, it can then become Tame. So that point is now going to become Tame. So it implies that the first section of the Mishnah is not talking about that case. So Lechora, this is Akasha against Rava. So the Gemara says, Reisha Vaseva Tuma Vatara, Vereisha Betumas Chulin. So the Gemara answers for Rava that really the first case and the last case are talking about violation of Tuma Vatara aspects. However, the first case refers only Reisha Betumas Chulin, being with Tame Chulin, since the idea of Tame is Chulin is only Midar Abanas, we're saying Naminei Dar Keshalim. Vaseva Betumas Chala, and the Seifa is talking about Tumas Chala. So that's how we're explaining this, the answer for the Stira. So once it's Tumas Chala, that would be Isser Dereisa. And that's what we're learning out, that it has to be, that you cannot allow to be gorim, that the tuma should be getting to the chala either as the status of truma. And so that's what we're saying over here. So the Gemara says Urmino, but if that's how you explain in the Raisa, the Choradim of Astira, between another Raisa, turning on to some chalaf and beis. Now, tochlin umafkidin, you're allowed to grind or deposit grain, etzel ochle shviyas. So give it to them, etzel ochle perasim betuma, and to those who eat their produce in tuma. So you do not observe the lachs of Tuma Vatara. They are trusted not to to touch your produce. Of a lola ochle shvias, but not those who violate the lachas shvias. Lola ochle person with Tuma, not those who eat their produce in a state of Tuma, because you're going to help them violate their iser. So this ilchor is against the Mishnah, that one is allowed to grind together with someone who eats chul in a state of Tuma. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye. Abaye is answering Aliba de Rava. According to Abaye, there is no kasha, because we're talking about Rav Amar the Haaretz Masur, and he gave a different answer. But Abaye is answering Alib the Rav. It's interesting because many times when the Gemara will say that, when there's a machlokas, and the other Mandamar is actually trying to just say, oh, this is an Akasha, because I'll give you this, at least deflect the proof from somewhere else, the Gemara will many times will say, Amar Abaye Alib the Rav. The Gemara doesn't say that here, but that's what the Gemara means. Anyway, interesting. Hasan b'koin achashud lechol truma b'tumah askinan. Here, we're talking about a case of a Kohen who's suspected of eating truma in a state of tumah. And therefore, it's an Issa Dereisa, and therefore, Rav would agree that you're not allowed to grind in that case because you were assisting him violate an Issa Dereisa. So the Gemara says, Yachi Mafkidin, so what does it mean that you're allowed to give him the grain? Why is that permitted? For Aminu, Mafkidin Truma Eitel Yisrael Amaretz. One is allowed to give Truma with the non Kohen Amaretz, Veloitel Kohen Amaretz, but not with the Kohen Amaretz. Reneg Shalibo Gaspa, because the being familiar with Truma, the Kohen who is Namaretz, is going to eat it in the state of Tumah. He's like, oh, I know this, I grew up with this, I'm a Kohen, and he's not going to care the fact that he is Tame, so we're not allowed to give it to him. However, when it comes to a Yisrael, then you're allowed to. So if the first price is discussing a Kohen, why does it permit a Kohen to have this produce? He's not allowed to. Or this price says explicitly, you're not allowed to, so if he's a Kohen. So the Gemara says, so Amar Rabbi Elazar, excuse me, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Achamai Askinan, what are we dealing with over here? B'chli Cheres, Hamukav Samit Pasil. We're talking about a case of a Kli Cheres that's covered. If it's sealed, then there's a lacha. We have the Pasuk in Parshas Lukas. Right? Called Samit Pasil. It's not going to be, anything that's inside is going to be Tahor. So since the Truma cannot become Tame, it's not allowed to be given to a Kohen. So the Gemara says, Lecho Shema Tisiteno Ishtanida. So why don't we assume that the wife of the Kohen is going to be a nida when she touches it, and then halacha of azav, azava, nida, all of them are going to be metameit, even if they just carry the object without even touching it. So why then are we not assuming that that's going to be an issue? So the Gemara elamar birmiya lo kasha kan bepirus shuhukshu. That we're referring to the first case that's saying it's usher. They had already become suspect to tumah because they had one of the shivas of mashkim touch it lirtzona of the bialim, and therefore it could become tameit. So therefore, you can't give it to a Kohen. However, Khan in the first price, they had not yet become susceptible to Tumah. They had not had one of the Zayin Mashkim, and therefore it's not going to become Tameh. So the Gemara says, Rabina, but we can still have a contradicting. Mishnah, the Mishnah says, someone brings wheat to a Kusi who is has a mill. So then what's the Lach? Or someone's Namaretz. You can assume that they're still permitted. Well, that's with regards to Meiser and Shvias. We're not concerned that he exchanged the produce. However, when it comes to Tuma, we will assume that the person touched the wheat and made it Tame. This Lachor is against the first halacha of the Breisa, which permits a Chavar to give it to the Amaretz and not assume that they're Tame. So, what do you mean? What's the kasha? Here, when it comes to bringing them to the person of the mill, you're clearly the payros had become susceptible to Tumah. That's why you can't give it to him. We already explained that our Brisa is talking about a case that had not become susceptible to Tumah, so there is no chash. There's nothing that's going to happen that's going to make them tame. So what's the problem over here? So that's a good answer. So the witch of Gemara says it's so obvious. But the Kar and Makar, that's the Lashon of the Gemara many times. Who someone who asked this question, what was he even thinking? Meaning, this is obviously, the answer was Minei Obey. What was even the question to begin with? What was it? How was there even a kashi over here? So the Gemara says, Mishum Dekabai, the Mimir Achrisi Allah. Because he wanted to ask a different question, this was really leading to another question. You're right. Be'etzem, there was no problem over here. So therefore, this is introductory to the next kasha. What was the next kasha? The Mishnah tells us that the wheat is presumed to remain in its permitted status for Meiser and Shvias. But we're not concerned for exchanging it. So the Gemara says, Raminu, but we can ask the steerer from the Mishnah. Someone who gives dough to his mother-in-law to prepare it. So the chaver gives it to the mother-in-law, and she is the Amaretz. She has to take off Truma, which he gives her, and also what she gives back, because she's suspected. She's suspected of exchanging. If the bread became spoiled, she's embarrassed to give her son-in-law spoiled bread, so she's going to go buy new non-Truma Maestro taken off things that are Masukan and give him Tevel. So he has to take off Truma to Maestro again. So because we're afraid that this might happen. So therefore, the Mishnah seems to contradict what we just said before, that tells us that Amaretz is not suspected of exchanging things which are given to him. So that therefore, the Gemara says that this also would give an answer. Hasam, in regards to that Mishnah, the reason for that Mishnah, Amar Yehuda Roitzei, B'Takanos Bita, Uboshe Mechamasa. There's a specific, I already kind of said it in the answer, there's a specific idea that's happening, is that she wants her daughter-in-law to be giving her Shalom Bayis, and she wants him to be giving her good food to her son-in-law. And therefore, she's embarrassed by her son-in-law. She's not going to serve him spoiled bread, and that she's going to be suspected of exchanging it. However, Amar Yehuda doesn't care. What does he care if you have spoiled bread back? He's going to give you exactly what you gave him. So Gemara says, "Lama lechashina." But is that true that we're not assuming that maybe he's going to exchange it with something else? Don't we say that's now we learn in the Mishnah? Nosin lepundakis, someone who gives his dough to a pundakis to bake. Maaser etchunosin la has to take off trumos. That which he gives to her vetchunosa lamina, and that which he takes back from her bnei shemachlefes, because she sometimes exchanges her bread for his. So therefore, even Amaret has no special halacha for exchanging for that. That's what we see over here. So the Gemara says, harasam muri of Amra. There too, she finds reason to exchange her bread. What she'll say, bar be rav lechol chamima. They should eat fresh bread. The talmidim, they should have the healthy food. They should have hot bread. Vana echol karira, and I'm going to eat cold, stale fruit. Therefore, She wants to serve him only fresh bread, and therefore we're assuming that the Mishnah, she thinks she's doing them a favor. Obviously, she doesn't know the halacha. You know, this many times, it's very awkward. You know, people who are not religious, they try to like set up a whole meal for you. They don't realize that you don't eat their food because, you know, they don't have a kosher dishes, whatever it is. So we assume that they sometimes really want what's best for you. They just don't know. It's nebach. They don't really know what the halachas are. So where's Vakazi la'amalachashina? It's really true that we don't suspect the amarits of exchanging the produce. Vatanei v'braisa, which says, Eishes chaver tuchenes imeches amarits. The wife of a chaver is allowed to grind together with the wife in amarits. Right. She's allowed to assist in grinding her food by the mill. Bizman she tmeya at a time when the wife of the chaver is also tmeya and not eat, and is not touching tahar food. Avalav bizman she tahara, but not at a time where she's tahar and she's only touching tahar food. Why? Why should this be? Because if she, we're not going to actually tell him to take the Amaretz's produce and put it in her mouth because she's not going to eat it. However, if she's Torah, then we're afraid she might accidentally come to eat it. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ap is man shitmeya lo titchon. No, even when she is Tameh, she should not come with the Amaretz. Mnei, shechaverta, because her friend, Nosenes la Velcheles, is giving her some of the prohibited grains and she's going to accidentally eat it. So the Gemara says, Hashta. So now if we're assuming that the wife is Mignav Ganev, the wife of Amaretz would steal from her husband to give some of it to her friend. She would even steal it without permission and give it to him. Chalufe l'machalifes sawinche akava chomer, that she certainly would exchange the Isser produce with that of the Heter produce. Why do we assume that she would, not be machlif over here? We could ask a kasha over here. The Gemara seems to say that Amaretz is capable of stealing from the fact that Amaretz's wife is giving her the food without her husband's permission. But the Chaver's wife is stealing as well. So what's going on over here? We're assuming that she's going to be stealing. So maybe we could say, they give an answer, that really, that this case, we're talking about she's going to forget that it's Aser, and then she's going to assume maybe it was really Mutter. She's not going to be more Iser over here. The Eishes Chaver, rather. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yosef. Either way, so we're going to answer the Gemara. Amar of Yosef, Hatsam Nami Mori of Amar. See, here also, Torah Midashik Achil. An ox eats from what it threshes. My friend is entitled to eat from the grain that she is assisting. And therefore, she's going to be more Heter and assume that it's Mutter. However, to actually exchange and violate an Isser Gezel, she is not going to be doing that. That's how we answer for the stira over here. Okay, Baz Hashem, we'll pick up with Hey, Rabbi Yosef, Ben Mushlam, Shem Rabbi Yochanan Achav, Mirza Shem, and tomorrow's daf.